All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, coming to you for the first time, and what we hope again will be all the way through February, but for the first time in a game week, and it's actually a post-game show this week in a way, because I waited until the Bucks finished their game with the Dolphins as we record this here live. It's live for me at least. It is Thursday night, a little after, well, it's almost 11 p.m., and the Bucks game just wrapped up, and they are 1-0 in the preseason, a 26-24 win. They get it done down in South Florida. Believe it or not, and I didn't have any recollection of any of these games, but that was the first time since 2012, 6 years, that the Bucks won their preseason opener. They've been 0-1 in every preseason since 2013, and that one in 2012 was also a win against the Dolphins. I don't think it means anything, but it's just an interesting stat. And so here we are, and I'll tell you what. Tonight was fun. I mean, preseason games, as a rule, are boring. When it's the first one of the whole year, you're obviously very excited, or at least I was very excited, at the very prospect of football. I mean, I wore my Bucks t-shirt today, you know, taking my kids to school and picking them up, and I was just generally thinking about the game from the moment I woke up. And this is a preseason game, which I wouldn't normally do that for any other preseason game except the first one. But my gosh, it's been, I mean, what has it been? You know, almost 9 months since the last time the Bucks took the field, and that was under unfortunate circumstances when they were playing for nothing in December. So, you know, this is a big deal, but yet every year that happens, and then about 10 minutes into the game, you get bored. It's like, okay, I got my football fix just to have anything. Now I want the real football to get my fix again, and that's not coming until, you know, September. However, this week had a little bit more intrigue just because of the quarterback situation, because usually, you know, you see your starting quarterback go out there, play a quarter, and go in. But tonight we were curious on two fronts about the quarterback position, because we wanted to see Ryan Fitzpatrick and how he would look. But then we were still looking forward to seeing how Jameis looked coming in, and he played in the second quarter. So that kind of kept things going through halftime. And of course, the second half of any preseason game is a little more slow, and they bring in a lot of not just second string, but third and fourth string guys. But this game was entertaining, not just from a competitive standpoint, but just the actual act of football. That was the brand of football, I should say, that was being played. I mean, Bucks quarterbacks combined, this is Fitzpatrick, Winston, and Ryan Griffin, 37 of 47 for 336 yards with a touchdown. No picks. That's a combined line for all three guys. But, I mean, that was fun. Like, that was fun. It was fun to watch. And you throw in a few lead changes there in the second half. You throw in a missed field goal, yes, but you also throw in a game-winning field goal. And you had yourself 3 hours of at least semi-entertaining football tonight. And we'll talk all about it on the show today as far as getting into the details. I'm not going to go blow by blow of every single thing that happened, but for a preseason game, I was pretty entertained. And what I always say about preseason, you know, people say, oh, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't. I mean, the outcomes of the games doesn't matter, but that's just it. Preseason doesn't matter in that the outcomes of the games don't matter. If the Bucks hadn't won that game, if the Dolphins had come back down and kicked a field goal and won 27-26 or something like that, you know, okay, it would have been fine, not a big deal. But how you look, I think that does matter. I've said that before. I mean, it's not as results-oriented as the regular season is, where all you care about is the final score and how you got to that point is secondary and you'll just take the win and go home, ugly or not. You know, in the preseason, how you look, I think, does matter. And I can say, and it's not a 100% accuracy type thing, but over the past few years, and last year I remember this, the Bucks didn't look very good in the preseason. It turns out they weren't very good. And I'm not saying they were perfect tonight. The defense, although, you know, bend but don't break was kind of a running theme. The defense gave up over 300 yards, and they were good on third down. The Dolphins were only 2 of 12 on third down. You know, again, none of these stats mean anything, and you won't even remember this game in 15 minutes. But the point is, like, the actual game result aside, Ryan Fitzpatrick looked very competent tonight behind the first string offense. He looked like a guy who, when he takes the field in week one in New Orleans and looks ahead to the three games he'll be the definite starter for, barring injury, tonight, to me, he looked like a guy that makes me say, hey, I'm not going to pencil in 0-3. I've been hearing, even before tonight, I would have thought this was ridiculous, but I've been hearing people penciling in. Like, not just saying, oh, I don't know how it's going to go, it's going to be tough. No, no, no. I'm saying people have been out there declaring with certainty, oh, well, you can just put 0-3 in the books, and we'll, you know, no team has ever made the playoffs from 0-3. I don't want to hear that crap. The Bucs can absolutely win with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not saying he's the number two quarterback, all things being equal, without suspensions, and you'd always rather have your number one guy, but he's better than most, if not, I mean, a very, very great deal of the number two quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Bucs absolutely have a shot to go out there and win football games in the first 3 weeks. And as I've heard the Joes talk about with Ira Kaufman, and I, you know, we've talked about it here, I mean, if you have a pass rush, you can win a football game in the NFL, let alone, you know, what your quarterback does. And so we didn't really get to see a ton of that tonight with the, you know, again, preseason situations and things like that, and they weren't quite unleashed, but that's something I look forward to. And Fitzpatrick tonight instilled more confidence. I think as a Bucs fan out there, if you're watching that game tonight and you're watching Ryan Fitzpatrick do what he did, and it was nothing crazy or anything, but you're saying, okay, we can do this. And they can. And they could be, I'm not saying they'll go 3-0, but they could be 2-1. They could be 1-2. They could be 0-3. I don't know. But that's the point. We don't know. And I think anything is in play, including 2-1, if not 3-0. So that was good. Then Jameis comes in. And you're wondering, well, you know, this is kind of weird having him come in the second quarter. Of course, a lot of things about this suspension are weird and awkward, and we wish the situation wasn't what it is, but given what it was when he came in, after it was weird for a play or two, it was like, okay, let's see what Jameis does. And he was fine. I mean, he didn't do anything crazy. He checked down a lot. He played it safe, you know, took what was given to him, and that's fine. I mean, again, they're not showing their offense. Nobody's showing anything. None of it matters as long as nobody gets seriously hurt. And I thought Jameis's mechanics looked good. I mean, he looks good throwing the ball, and basically all you could have hoped for tonight. I mean, again, none of it guarantees anything, but at least it wasn't a bad sign. And so when you put all that together, you know, you look at the total numbers for the quarterbacks, again, very good. Ryan Griffin was responsible for a lot of that too in the second half, and bless his heart, good to see him do well. And, you know, they're going to need him. He's the backup quarterback in the first 3 weeks if anything happens to Fitzpatrick. You had, of course, another kicking thing going on, which, I mean, Chandler Catanzaro, there's no competition. He's the kicker. They gave him a contract worth $3 million a year. It's not one of these camp battle type things. He's the guy. So he set the NFL, or tied the NFL rookie record a few years ago, making his first, I think it was 17 field goals in a row. And last year in 2017, he was 29 for 29 on extra points, made a 57-yard field goal. Just the very definition of rock solid, dependable. You know, maybe not Justin Tucker level for Baltimore. He's the best kicker in the league. But a guy you can just say, okay, this is our kicker now. We're done worrying about this. And so, of course, first drive of the game, which the Bucs go down and score on, which just that alone blew me out of my chair. Like, I'm not used to that. None of us are. But a Bucs touchdown on the opening drive of a football game. So they get that done. Catanzaro comes out, misses the extra point promptly right off the bat. And I was on Twitter for the game, you know, sitting there in front of the TV with my phone, embracing for the potential freak out. But I gotta say, Bucs Twitter was pretty mellow about it, and that was good to see. I think overall, you know, everybody understands the situation. Dirk Cutter after the game did say, you know, we expect more from him, but no one's a harsher critic on himself than Chandler, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was, if you want to look for any just even little signs of unrest or anything, I wouldn't say that is it. But he did come back and make the game winner, albeit it was a chippy. And he did miss another field goal. It was a 53-yarder. I'm not going to jump down a guy's throat for missing 50-plus yarders. He did have the leg for it. He just left it out a little wide right. But maybe perhaps not exactly what you wanted to see from the kicking game tonight. Ryan Smith did have the game-clinching interception, but didn't look great before that. He even got beat on a couple times when he was giving a big cushion. And then you look at the running game. Didn't talk about the running game a little bit because, you know, who knows what it'll really look like once the season starts. But Peyton Barber looked pretty good. I mean, he looks like a competent running back and a guy who can actually hit a hole. And, of course, Ronald Jones didn't do a ton. again, very short duty for both. I mean, Peyton Barber only had 4 carries tonight. And I didn't think the new helmet rules, this is our first Bucks game with the new helmet rules and, you know, lowering your head and all that stuff. And I watched the Hall of Fame game last week. I watched the Bucks game this week. So I've watched 2 games so far with the new rule. And I haven't noticed anything crazy yet. There was actually a couple more glaring calls or non-calls in the game in the Hall of Fame game last week. I didn't notice much tonight with the Bucks game that seemed that much different. So, again, when the regular season starts and it actually matters and a big penalty comes up and takes away a drive from somebody or it preserves a drive that should have already ended in a punt, it'll seem like a big deal then. But as of right now, it hasn't changed the complexion of watching football like many people have predicted it would at this early stage. So, with all that said, good night for the Bucks. They win again, 26-24. Y'all probably saw that and know that by now. If you want to get a hold of me here on the show, always love getting your emails. I've been having a great time the past few weeks talking with you guys. My email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y at yahoo.com. I'm also on Twitter at Bobby Game Day. If you want a fridge schedule, I've been getting a ton of emails. And for those of you out there that have already emailed me, I am going to be typing up the fridge schedule. I don't know how many of you have kids, but the first day of public school and a lot of schools altogether in Hillsborough County is Friday. If you're listening to this on Friday, it's today. If not, then it's next week, I think, for the rest of them. So people are going back to school. My kids are going back to school, and that's going to allow me time to start working on some things. So you're going to get your fridge schedule. It's happening. And for those of you that want one, if you haven't heard what I do every year, and I've been doing this since I was in high school, it's not good enough for me just to cut the schedule out of the newspaper and stick it on the fridge. I make a nice 8.5 by 11 schedule. I put the logos on there in color, the Bucks logo, plus a little tiny logo next to the names of all the teams we play. I do it up nice. I do one for the Bucks, and I do one for the Gators. So you can have both of them, one of them, whatever you want, just email me, and I'll email you back a Word file. You can print it out in color. You can print it out in black and white. Do whatever you want to do. So with all that said, you know, now that we've got one preseason game out of the way, and, you know, by the time you guys listen to this, we may know more about the injury situation. It didn't seem that bad. I know Hargraves had a little groin thing, which, I mean, we hope is not a big deal. But again, more news may have come out since you have listened to this. I mean, I'm recording this again on Thursday night right after the game. Now we're into the real doldrums of the preseason. You know, game one is exciting because it's the first game. Games 2 and 3, and then game 4 is almost unwatchable, but at least it's the last one. But like I said last week, I mean, you know, I was bracing myself for all the bitching about the preseason on Twitter tonight. Didn't see that much, which was refreshing. I mean, again, yeah, it's not great. It's not regular season, but it's not supposed to be compared to the regular season. It's supposed to be compared to not having football at all. So would you rather have had a game tonight that I'm sure if you're a Bucks fan, you at least semi looked forward to, right? When you went to work today or whatever you did, or even earlier this week when it was Monday and Tuesday, you thought, hey, it's a game. Would you rather have that or just not have anything for another couple of weeks if we cut down the number of preseason games? Because as I said last week, I am a proponent of 16 games. I don't want to see 18 games. If it was a matter of going to 18 games and 2 preseason games, which is what I think the league would prefer to do if they could get away with it, you know, that would be the same amount of football, only more meaningful football. But I'm a proponent of keeping it right at 16 games. So would I rather have 16 games and 4 preseason games or 16 games and then 2 preseason games? I mean, again, it's just 2 more games. I'd rather have them than not. I would have rather have had a game this week. Now, my plan, and I'm not stupid, I know it would never be instituted, but my plan, my proposal for the preseason has always been 3 preseason games. I think every team should play 1 home, 1 road, and 1 neutral. And I think, you know, the NFL is always trying to grow the game, and they go to London, they go to Mexico City, they've talked about going to other places, and I mean, they go to great, great lengths, logistically, financially, and many other ways just to get 2 teams to go play a football game, you know, 10,000 miles away. And I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm against that. But, you know, you can still grow the game in America, too, and this is where my proposal in the preseason comes in. I'm not saying it's some awesome product. It's still preseason football. But what if you played 3 of them? And like I said, you had 1 home, 1 road, and then you had 1 in towns that don't have an NFL team. and maybe college towns or things like that, and you gave them a chance to see a game. How, like, you know, you could do the Dolphins and the Bucks at either UCF Stadium or the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Or you could do Bucks-Jaguars at the Swamp in Gainesville or at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee. Let those people have a chance to go see an NFL game. I know it's only preseason, but it's still something. And let them have a chance to do that. You know, the Saints could play the Cowboys or something like that, like in Shreveport or in Austin or some. Just do that type of thing. Play a game in Oklahoma City with Dallas and somebody, I don't know, the Broncos, or whatever. You know, play games around the country in places that don't have NFL teams. You know, the Patriots could play a game somewhere like in Maine or so. I don't know if they have a stadium anywhere there. But, so, you know, send the teams around. You would only need to do 16 of these a year at various sites around the country and just get it to a place where the teams don't have to travel too far, but they can meet kind of somewhere in the middle, you know. I think it's a great idea. I think, and then the number of preseason games, I think, is perfectly appropriate, because I think three is enough to get yourself ready without being redundant. I mean, two probably is two, but again, I'm trying to be realistic. So I think that'd be something that they could do. Of course, that's not going to happen. So until then, I'm totally fine with the 16-4 setup as it is. We got another game next week. Gonna have fun with that one too. That one's also on the road before the Bucks come home for their final two preseason games. And that leads me to my next thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, because I've been talking to a few people that I know personally, and I've been getting emails from other people, and I've been getting contacted myself by the Bucks as an ex-season ticket holder who didn't renew his tickets. Oh man, I had the tickets for over 10 years, and now it's been almost, it's been like 5 or 6 years since I didn't renew them, so that's getting to be a while too. But I still get called every year by the Bucks, and I'm not going to do it just yet. I've told them if they fix the uniforms, I will renew my tickets immediately. But one of the other big problems I have, and I'm sure a lot of you also have this problem with the season tickets, is that you're forced to not just buy season tickets, but you're forced to pay face value for 10 games, not 8. 2 preseason games, and if you have a club seat that costs $1,000 a game, you have to pay $10,000 for your season tickets instead of 8, because that week 3 and week 4 of the preseason game costs exactly the same amount of money as some Monday night game in December in prime time with two teams competing for the top of the division in a hypothetical situation. Same price, $1,000. $1,000 to go to a preseason game in week 4 on a Thursday night if you buy season tickets. And if you took that ticket and actually walked around outside the stadium holding it up, trying to sell it to people on the market out there, the scalping market, you probably couldn't sell that ticket for more than $20. Even 20, I'd kind of think about it. Oh, it's club, yeah, but 20? I know I could get into preseason for 15, maybe even 10. I've gotten into them for 5 before, you know. So you're basically, what it amounts to is you have to make an extra donation to the ball club. Even if you think your regular season, and I'm just making up a price point of $1,000. I know they do have some that cost that much. Let's call it $500, whatever you want. You know, at a price point of $500 per game for 8 games, you have to pay $4,000. But no, you actually have to pay another $5,000, because you got to pay for those 2 preseason games. And those are worth nothing. It's a donation. Except, here's the thing, folks. And this hit me like a ton of bricks about 3-4 years ago. I haven't acted on it yet, but if I ever do, I'm going to do it this way. Except you don't have to pay for the preseason games. You know why? Just call up and buy the tickets after the second preseason home game has happened. Are the Bucks going to tell you, oh, nope, too late, the deadline to buy season tickets has passed? Are they going to say that? Of course not. They're going to say, they want your money. So, it's not like we have seat deposits anymore where you have to, you know, pay in advance and set it up for a certain amount of time, you know, 10 years or whatever. You can buy them year to year now. Wait 2 more weeks. And the Bucks, if they are mad at me for saying this, and they've never expressed that they are, although they probably don't even listen to my show, but if this was ever upsetting to them, they should be thanking me, because I think more people would be liable to buy tickets if they understood my proposal. So if you're down on the preseason, but you still are excited about the regular season, which I think a lot of people are, what's today? It's like the 6th or 7th or something. Whatever the last preseason game is, I think it's the 20-something of August. That next day, call the Bucks up, say, hey, I want season tickets. They'll give you the 8 home games remaining, all regular season home games. And you will be sitting pretty in the middle of Raymond James Stadium for face value just for the regular season. Try it. And if they tell you no, they don't want your money, which they're not going to do, then, you know, what are you really missing out on? No organization would do that. And the Bucks won't either. So that's my tip to you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. Twitter at BobbyGameDay. Oh, I forgot to update the cruise tracker. We talked about this last week. For those of you that missed it, I went through a whole song and dance. My wife booked us to go on a cruise wild card weekend. And I went through a whole rigmarole about, you know, I don't know if we can do this, babe. It's wild card weekend. Plus the college football national championship is that weekend too, that Monday night. And I don't feel comfortable not being in town. And she assured me, no, the cruise ships, the modern day ones, you can watch the games on the boat just like you're at a sports bar at home. They have sports bars on them and all this and that. And I said, okay, well, I did some research and actually asked you guys on the podcast last week, and many of you emailed me. And it sounds like, although I'm still trying to get just real official confirmation from Carnival, it sounds like you can watch games on the ship, right? Like, even if you're at sea and you're out in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, they have satellites, I can watch all the wild card games. So that's fine. So I told my wife, well, there's one contingency here that you have to plan for. You know, I don't mind, even though I really don't like being out of town for wild card weekend in general, but I don't mind watching the games on a cruise ship if I can watch them. I'd rather get together with my buddies and do something like that, but okay. You know, these cruises are not easy to book. I get it. They don't have, it's not like airline flights where you can book them at any time and then there's one today, there's one tomorrow, there's one the next day. Some of these cruises only leave once a month or once every couple of weeks or whatever it is, the certain one you want. So, flexibility is an issue. Plus, with kids in school, you need to go over Christmas break or else they're missing school. So the point is, I told my wife, one contingency, if the Buccaneers win the NFC South and they are actually hosting a playoff game, there is no way I'll be anywhere but at that stadium. I mean, I'm going to be there. So if that happens, I'm not going to go get on a boat and sail out of town where the Bucs are playing at home in a playoff game. Just no chance. And she's like, oh, well, my wife's from South Florida. She's a Dolphins fan. Not that they're anything special, but she's like, nah, it's not going to be a problem. So I said, okay, I'm telling you right now, we're going to have to do some major rescheduling, major changing of plans. And so it turned into a whole thing. So now the cruise tracker we're going to do every week. And, you know, where do we stand on the Bucs' chances, not just to make the playoffs, but to win the NFC South, which is the ultimate scenario. It's the ultimate apocalypse scenario for my cruise. For me, it's fine. I want them to win the South, and I'll deal with marital strife if I have to. But for the cruise tracker after tonight, I would say trending up a little bit. Because I have to be honest. I mean, we're all very optimistic about the Bucs this year. New front seven, or at least a new front four. You know, Jameis making a step forward, we hope, when he comes back from suspension. And on and on and on. And yet, if you talk to people outside of the Bucs fan base, I mean, the idea that the Bucs would be anywhere near a threat to win the South is a joke to most people. Which, I mean, again, I know I'm just by nature optimistic. I understand that. But I really do think the Bucs have a chance to be halfway decent this year. Or at least I want to believe that. And then I see, like, Sporting News last week said they predicted 1-15 for the Bucs. I was reading Drew McGarry, who I'm a huge fan of at Deadspin. And if you don't read these, if you're a football fan, you'll enjoy them. He does a series every year through training camp, one team a day for, 30 days, called Why Your Team Sucks. And he does it for every team. It's not just the Bucs. But the Bucs one came out this week. And again, the disdain and, people just think the Bucs are a joke. Like, or if they think about the Bucs at all, to be quite honest with you. It's like the Humphrey Bogart line from Casablanca when the other guy, what's the character's name? I can't remember. But he asks him, he's like, you don't like me much, do you, Rick? And Rick says, well, I guess I wouldn't if I ever gave you any thought whatsoever. That's how it is with the Bucks. Like, if people even think about the Bucks at all, they probably don't like them outside of the area here. But they just think they're a non-factor. And I'm fine with that. I've always been fine with that. But yet, I think this team, could make a little bit of noise. So with that, every week we'll look and the, you know, the stock will go up and down given the performance of that week, and especially in the regular season where it actually counts against their record. But just watching what we watched tonight, that little snippet, again, first preseason game, not going to break it down too thoroughly because it doesn't deserve to be broken down too thoroughly. Trending up a little bit. Bucks odds to win the South are a little bit better, I think, tonight than I thought they were last night or this week before. And that in and of itself is fun. So we'll update that every week throughout the season. And if it gets to be like close in December, I'm telling you, this is going to be a problem in my family. And I don't care because I want the Bucks to win the NFC South more than I want anything else involving any vacation. And I will cancel all plans if it comes down to that. Because what could be better? I mean, it's been 10 years already, my gosh. And it's been 16 years since a playoff win of any kind. 10 years since they made the playoffs. So it's going to be a huge day on Joe Bucks Fan and a huge week. So I'm sure you guys are all already checking up on everything. But the Joes have, I mean, you know, you got Iris Podcast, the commish, all the coverage from the game. Check it out on joebucksfan.com. I want to thank the Joes for allowing me to do this show, as always. I want to thank all of you. And again, if you want that fridge schedule, it is free. I'll send it to you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Send it to me. Twitter at BobbyGameDay. And in the meantime, enjoy yourself this week. It is officially football season every single weekend from now through February the 3rd, 2019. There will be a slate of football games of one form or another. You got NFL, you have college, it's something going all the way through. Even that the Pro Bowl that week before the Super Bowl, you're going to have a football game or more on TV. And it's just, I mean, just seeing that ball go in the air tonight just took me to a better place, man. Happy New Year, everybody. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Free Stretch. Thanks to the Joes. And wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and let's go Bucks.